The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Do you feel you have done things so bad that you're out of God's reach? Or maybe no matter how hard you try, you keep repeating the same mistakes and feel there's no hope for you? Well, I want you to know that God has already made a way for you to be born again to a living hope. It's as easy as this. To be born again, to be saved, whatever language you use, means that you receive Christ as your Savior, the payment for your sins, and that He comes to live inside of you. You know, when you're saved, it doesn't just mean that you agree to try to be good and go to church once a week. It means that God comes to live in you. God comes to live in you. You become the home of God, a new creature. You know, if you're born again, you're different than other people who aren't born again. You have a power in you. You have a hope in you. The Bible says that we're born again into an ever-living hope. You know, the interesting thing about salvation is it's already a done deal. You don't have to struggle to try to get it. You don't have to try to talk God into doing something for you. Jesus already died for us. He's already paid for our sins. Whether you know it or not, every sin that you've ever committed or ever will commit has already been forgiven. All you have to do is receive it. The word get means to obtain by struggle and effort, but to receive means to just take in what's being offered. Become a receptacle and just take in what's being offered. You say, well, maybe I've committed too many sins. Well, let's just use an example. There's a power line coming into this building. If someone would reach up and cut the power line one time, we would have no power, right? It'd all be gone. Well, let's just say somebody cut the power line five times. We still wouldn't have any power. Or let's say they cut it 100 times. We wouldn't have any power. So whether you cut the power line once or 100 times, you don't have any power. So whether you sin one time and manage to be good the whole entire rest of your life, which is not too likely, or if you're like I was, one of those especially wicked sinners that the Bible talks about, somebody who just feels like you've done so many things wrong that there couldn't possibly be any hope for you, either way, the power line between us and God is cut, and we need somebody to restore that. And we can't do that. Our sin is so great, and God's holiness is so amazing that there's no way that through any effort or works of our own or any amount of good behavior or any trying to pay for our sins that we could ever restore what's been broken. But God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever, I think that's you, that whosoever, not some people, not a few people, not special people, but whosoever, what? Believeth in Him. Now, you know, can I tell you something? You can choose to believe what you want to. You have to have some special feeling to believe. You can just choose to believe the truth that Jesus died for all your sins over 2,000 years ago, that He loves you. Say, I don't feel loved. Choose to believe it, and the feelings will catch up with it. Anything you choose to believe, your feelings will catch up with it eventually. Choose to believe that the Word of God is true. That God not only forgives your sins, but He forgets them and He removes them as far as the east is from the west. In order to enter the kingdom of heaven, a man must be born again. when you're born again, a seed of everything that God is comes to live in you. You become pregnant with all that God is. Man or woman, young, old, you become pregnant with everything that God is. Pregnant with hope, pregnant with joy, pregnant with faith, pregnant with peace. And as the Holy Spirit works in you, you grow and you grow and you grow and you grow and you begin to give birth to first this thing and then that thing and then another thing and then another thing and then another thing and then another thing and this freedom and that freedom and some other freedom. And that new creature that you are made by the grace of God at the moment of your new birth begins to be manifested through your life. And all of a sudden people begin to say it and they start to say, I think I'd like some of that. See, God doesn't save us just so we can lay on the couch and eat donuts and watch soap operas. He wants us to all be witnesses in a dark world. And that's not a scary thing. It just means get out in the world and be what you are. Just simple. Just get out in the world and just be what you are. If you're here tonight, you say, Joyce, I need a new beginning. Do you need a new beginning? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. All things become new. Tonight, you can have a free new beginning. Free new beginning. All your sins forgiven. Peace with God. A belief and an understanding that you will go to heaven. But not only that, when you're born again, you receive eternal life. And eternal life is not just a ticket to heaven when you die. But listen to this. Here's what eternal life is. It means to have life as God has life while you're here on the earth. Life as God has it. Eternal life is a different quality of life. It's not a breathing life. Life as God has it. Overcoming life. And all you have to do is say, can that be for me? Yes. That's for you. Maybe you've tried to serve God and you've fallen back into sin, and so now the devil's really got you convinced God will never have you back. Well, you know what? He's a liar. And you're here in the right place. And it's your time to say, you know what? Just like the prodigal son, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I'm tired of living in the pig pen of life. I'm coming home. If you're ready to surrender tonight and say, only Jesus, no other way. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Always and only Jesus. Never me, never my works. Only Jesus. Then I want to pray for you. We're going to lead you in a prayer. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that He did what He said He did, you will be saved. And so I want to lead you in a prayer if that's you tonight. And I'm going to tell you something. I want you to be bold. You say, I need Jesus. I want a relationship with Jesus. I want to know that I'm born again. Then we're going to start out bold tonight. I want you to stand up right where you're at and I'm going to pray for you. Come on, all over the building, stand up. You say, I want a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now I just want you to pray this prayer after me. Very simple prayer, not complicated. But you pray it loud and you mean it. Say, Father God, I love you. I believe in you. I need you. I'm sorry for my sins. Sorry about the way I've lived. Sorry for shutting you out. But I want you in my life. I surrender. I yield. I receive Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. I believe He died for me. He rose from the dead. He's alive today. Come into me. Take me just the way I am. Now make me everything you want me to be. I believe I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But I'm going to enjoy the trip. Amen. Come on. Well, if you just prayed to receive Jesus as your Savior, you are now a new person in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any person is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come." To help you get started in your new life in Christ, we have a free book that we want to give you. It's called A New Way of Living. Just contact us by using the information on your screen. And if you have any doubt about your salvation, I want to encourage you to pray and read God's Word for answers. Also, Ginger has a couple of your questions concerning salvation that we're going to answer today.
Well, first of all, you got to think how exciting it is that many people just now made a decision that is completely going to change not only their future in heaven, but their life here today.
That's exactly
right. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have questions about that, and I think this is a great place to start. Susan from Tucson asked, "Recently my 13-year-old son asked the question, 'How do I know I'm saved and won't go to hell? How can I answer him?'" Well, if we can answer it for a 13-year-old, then we can all understand it. And it's really a question that many, many people have.
I always like to encourage people to just check the peace in their heart. You know, everything doesn't change overnight when we invite Christ into our lives. But one of the things that I think across the board people will sense is a greater peace in their heart. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean it's going to be perfect, but there will be a greater peace in their life. And everything about our relationship with God is faith. And faith is the substance of things we don't see. It's things that we believe. But I believe that God gives us a grace to believe. The Bible says in Romans 12 that unto every man is given the measure of faith. And so I think if she encourages her son to believe, and even sometimes there's so much power in the Word, and if people will even just read scriptures about salvation, then the Word will do that work in them to convince them, yes, I truly am saved. It's not about feelings. It's God's promise.
Yeah.
You know, so many people, I would say probably a large majority of people, when they're born again or saved, the enemy will come to them and say, "Well, you're not really saved." Hmm. One of the things he uses, "Well, you know, you haven't changed." Well, their heart has changed. And so they want to please God now. And it just takes time for all those areas in our life to come in line with God's Word.
Well, here's a question that goes perfectly with that. Kathy from Birmingham in the United Kingdom says, "I'm caught up in this sin, and I've repented so many times, but I just keep repeating it. I find it hard to kneel and pray to God because He probably isn't even listening anymore at this point. I need God to forgive me. What can I do?"
Well, I think that any time that somebody just continues to struggle with the same sin over and over, I don't believe it's because they're not saved. I believe it's because they're not spending proper time with God. When I first started really trying to walk with God after Dave and I got married, I was born again, truly born again, and I had a lot of problems from my abusive past. And I kept trying to change and trying to change, and I especially had a real bad temper, and so I would try to control myself, and every day I'd fail, and every day I'd feel guilty. And when I look back, I said like a 30-second prayer at night, and I read one chapter in the Bible a day out of obligation. Well, there's no wonder I couldn't change. And, you know, sadly, the church that I was attending didn't really teach me anything different. You know, so often we hear, go to church, go to church, go to church. And that's great. We do need to go to church to be in fellowship with other people and to be taught and to worship together. But we need to go to God for ourselves and spend time with God ourselves.
Yeah. Well, I think Lisa can relate to what you're saying. She asks, I'm paralyzed with guilt. I see the glaring consequences of my sin every day. It seems there's no escape and my heart breaks over and over. Does this take years to let go of and forgive myself? Or do we just learn to ignore that feeling and move on? How do we deal with that guilt?
Well, probably my biggest problem was guilt and condemnation. And it did take me a while to get over it because my mind had to be renewed. And one of the things that I did and one of the things that I teach people to do is to confess the Word of God out loud. So if I do something wrong and right away I start to feel guilty, which, you know, would be the normal process. Actually, I don't do that anymore, but that's what I did for a lot of years. It's not that I don't have any feeling of regret that I did it, but right. I know the difference in true conviction from God and condemnation. So if I do something wrong and the Holy Spirit makes me aware that I did it, that's conviction. And conviction is intended to lift you out of the sin, whereas condemnation presses you down and keeps you in it.
Yeah.
So as long as a person allows the devil, and it is from him, to torment them with guilt, the guilt actually weakens them and hinders them from being able to deal with the problem properly. And so, once again, the Word of God. I think so often people want some kind of a, you know, magic answer. Well, you know, what can I do? Well, the power is in the Word. Jesus is the Word made flesh. So when we go to the Word, it's the same as going to Him. And, you know, I wrote down and memorized every scripture that I could find in the Bible on guilt and condemnation, and especially like scriptures about righteousness. I've probably said a million times in my life, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. There is no more condemnation for those who are in, excuse me, in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And eventually, it just, you get it.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. This has been a lie all this time, and I am not going to let the enemy put that over on me anymore. You know, to be honest, if people want to really walk in victory, it's going to take time. It's going to take some study. Now, you can be saved and maybe go to heaven. Well, not maybe. You will go to heaven when you die if you're truly saved. But to live in victory here, to not suffer like she is, that's going to take a commitment of time.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying, because her question, do I just have to learn to ignore that feeling?
Well, the truth is,
the answer is no. There's
yeah.
something much better.
Yeah. But, you know, I can remember even saying this feeling that I have is a lie. Because I got right. to the point where I believed the Word more than I believed yeah, the way that I felt.
Right.
And I said, I have repented. I'm truly sorry. God has forgiven me. So therefore, if there's no sin, there's no guilt. So the sin is gone, and the guilt is gone too. So this is just something the enemy is using against me. And so...
And you're fighting back.
Yeah. So however I feel, I'm not going to live according to my feelings. So
yeah.
in a way, yes, you don't have to put up with the feeling, because here's the thing, and I hope she's listening and gets this. If you stop feeding that feeling by saying, yes, this is who I am because this is the way I feel, then it will die and you'll see the truth of God's Word.
Yeah, that is so helpful. Thank you. We always appreciate you letting us ask our questions.
Thank you. Well, the good news is God's love for you is so great that He wants to forgive you and give you a brand new life. Here's a story that demonstrates just that. It's about a man named Gene, and for over 20 years, he worked on the streets of L.A. as a pimp.
I was a victim of circumstance growing up in my neighborhood. I was gang banging, and I was trying to seek any available opportunity to get out. And I got introduced to the business by an older friend of mine in the neighborhood. I just picked it up, developed the craft, and it was all about catching the woman in position of her vulnerability. Now, a lot of women are runaways, they have nobody that love them, care about them. So when I come along, I'm making them feel loved. I give them that attention that they're looking for. And in turn, you know, they give me what I desire, which is financial support. And it sounds kind of bad, you know what I'm saying, because I was the bad guy. I was like the enemy, like a roaring lion seeking to whom I may devour. It was all about business. So that was the only thing on my mind.
Is that hard for you to say I was the bad guy?
No.
Not anymore?
No, because I know it was wrong. Society told me it was wrong. They showed me it was wrong, you know, when I got convicted and was sent to prison, you know.
And you were making those choices?
Yes. When I was out there on the streets, I didn't really feel that I would ever amount to anything. All I knew was from day to day, this is what I do, this is my job, and I'm good at it. You know, I was trying to be successful as a pimp to have more in life.
At what point, you know, did you begin thinking there has to be a better way?
It was just like God turned the light on, you know. So when I was in the dark room, now I could see. And everything started to be more clear as far as my life was concerned. Now, I had two girls go to jail, and I'm in Motel 6, and all of a sudden, you know, I get dressed and I'm ready to go to work, and I find myself outside on the street, standing up under the light, and, you know, I just called out to God, and I asked him to change things in my life, you know, make me who you want me to be. And here I am.
How did you know even who to call out to?
Because I had nobody else. You know, I have family, and because of my occupation or because of what I did, you know, they turned their backs on me, and the only friends that I had were pimps. So it was like divine revelation on who to call. And it, from that moment on, was a process of life changing.
What were some of those steps that you had to go through to change your life?
It didn't happen dramatically or overnight. It was a process. I mean, I was still out there, I was still doing what I do, but eventually God kept bringing people in my path, you know, with little whispers of this and Jesus loves you. I know when my daughter was born, you know, the first thing that I told my wife is that we have to get her dedicated to the Lord. And so we got her dedicated, and then we'll sit in church and was like, well, how can we get her right if we're not right? And when we said that, then we stepped up to the altar and accepted Jesus in our life. And life has been good ever since, you know.
But you're no longer the bad guy.
No longer the bad guy. In God's eyes, you know, I'm washed clean and I'm whole. What I have now is peace of mind. You know, I have a beautiful wife with two kids. You know, I have my own business. But it's nothing like the feeling that I feel now, being present with my Lord, than I've ever felt before in life. I love my wife, I love my family, but first off and foremost, I love the Lord. You know, and I know if I stay with Him and follow Him, then I'll be protecting my family, and everything will go according to His will.
Yeah. Well, today is Good Friday. We call it Good Friday because we celebrate the death of Jesus on this day. And it is a good thing for us. It was painful for Him, but a great thing for us. This is Easter weekend, and of course, on Sunday, He rose from the dead. And so I just want you to have a great, great, great holiday. And this year, you'll know that Easter is not just about bunnies and eggs and Easter egg hunts, but on this celebration, Jesus died to give us a brand new life. And I congratulate those of you that have received Christ through this program today. You are in for a wonderful future.
I get to have a relationship with Him, not because of anything I've done or who I am, but because of who He is.
I'm starting to experience all the things He died for.
It's something really that you feel, and it's in your heart, and when you do, it's amazing.
Begin your new way of living with this free book from Joyce Meyer Ministries and gain confidence and understanding of your new life in Christ. Simply call or visit us online. It's also available as a digital download.
Father God, I love you. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for me. You paid for my sin. I know that I'm a sinner. I'm so sorry for the way I've lived. Please forgive me. I am forgiven. I receive you, Jesus. By the grace of God, I receive you. There's a wonderful gift in my life. And I know that I will never be the same. I believe that I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm born again. Amen. Studying God's Word is what has changed my life, and I'm encouraging you to take my 30-30 challenge to see what it will do in your life. I'm asking you to spend 30 minutes studying God's Word for 30 days. So take the 30-30 challenge and see what God does in your life.
The 30-30 challenge. Study the Bible for 30 minutes a day for 30 days and see how your life changes. Sign up now at joycemeyer.org/30-30challenge for encouragement and how-to tips.